Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Black holes, the cosmos, space, and time travel. Science and technology. Brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku.
And GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Every week on Science Fantastic, we explore the amazing world of science and technology. And this is your chance to ask a question or make a comment about this great universe of ours. The number to call is 612-564-8135. Write that number down, 612-564-8135. And all we ask is that you leave your name, call letters of the radio station or the website you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and that's it. Bingo. Perhaps your thoughts will be heard on national radio, on about 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic, and also the Internet. And also, you may want to check out my website. Go to mkaku.org, mkaku.org, and you see a listing of the New York Times bestsellers that I've written. Bestsellers like Physics of the Future and The God Equation. These are books that answer some of the deepest questions we have about the world around us. And we have about 5 million fans on Facebook. So find out what all the excitement is about. Go to mkaku.org, mkaku.org, or go to my Facebook site at Michio Kaku and be part of this great, glorious march of science. Okay, well, the lines are lighting up, so let's take the first listener phone call.
Hi, my name's Tom. I'm listening to you on 750 KFQD in Chugiak, Alaska. And I have two questions. One of them is probably kind of dumb. One of them is, in the universe, if you're traveling through the universe, is there an end to it? I mean, there's an end to everything. What is your thought of that? And the second one is, I was cooking a steak on a sloped driveway, and I had to adjust the grill because the flame was at an angle and it was not cooking the steaks correctly. So I'm wondering, with a flame, is it affected by gravity? Why does it go straight up? I mean, it's got to be affected by gravity. Why else would it go vertical? I thought about that last night, and I was like, why is that? Do you understand, or do you know why? Anyway, that was my two questions, and I hope to hear your answer from those two questions. Anyway, thank you. Bye.
Okay, well, let's just jump right into some of the questions that you asked. First of all, is there an end to the universe? If we have a rocket ship and we fire our engines and we let it go for billions and billions of years, will it eventually hit a brick wall? Will there be a big sign that says the end of the universe? Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. This is it, folks. Well, the short answer is we don't know. However, we have theories as to what the universe may look like if it were open or closed. Think, for example, of a balloon. The analogy that we usually give is that if you have a balloon and you paint dots on it, and these dots represent galaxies, and you inflate the balloon, then, of course, the balloon expands, but the balloon has no end. Where is the end of a balloon? If you're one of these dots on the surface of a balloon, and the balloon just keeps bigger and bigger and bigger, then the dots separate. But if you were to be an ant and walk on the surface of the balloon, you would wipe around again and again and again. Because the universe, or the balloon, is finite in three dimensions. Of course, it's a balloon. It's finite in three dimensions. But in two dimensions, that is the world of an ant, it is infinite. So here is an object, a balloon, which is infinite in two dimensions, because you simply wrap around an infinite number of times. But it's finite in three dimensions, because it's just nothing but a balloon. Now comes along Einstein and says that the universe is like that. Maybe the universe could be finite in four dimensions, but infinite in five dimensions, or what have you. And so, in other words, we really don't know, but the leading theory is, now, remember, this is not proven, the leading theory is something called inflation, which says that the universe started off as a tiny little ball which expanded extremely rapidly, and because it's a quantum event, it can happen over and over and over again, giving you not just one balloon, but a bubble bath of baby universes. Each universe then expands rapidly. Sometimes these universes bump into each other, and that's called the Big Bang. In fact, that's what the Big Bang is. It's nothing but the collision of bubbles, or the fissioning of bubbles in smaller pieces. Now, as I said, this fits the data. If you take a look at the cosmic microwave radiation, that is the afterglow of the Big Bang. Believe it or not, the afterglow of the Big Bang is still with us. For example, what is the temperature of outer space? The temperature of outer space is less than 3 degrees Kelvin, 3 degrees above absolute zero. And where did that energy come from? It came from the Big Bang. And so, in other words, the Big Bang is cooled down. The Big Bang used to be very hot, 13.8 billion years ago. It's cooled down, and that is the temperature of empty space today. So the temperature of empty space today is the temperature of the Big Bang today, which is a little bit, almost 3 degrees above absolute zero. But again, that's inflationary theory. It's a theory that fits the data, but it is not universally accepted by all physicists. Then you ask a question about flames. Are flames affected by gravity? Yes, but not much. Because first of all, what is a flame? A flame is nothing but hot gas. When you heat gas to thousands of degrees, eventually it begins to emit electromagnetic radiation in the form of light. And that's why the flame becomes luminous. So the fact that it rises is due to the fact that it's just ordinary gas. And the density of the gas is less than the density of air, because, of course, hot air expands. And because its density is less, it weighs less, and therefore it floats. So that's the reason why empty air floats, because the density is less than normal. And if you heat it up to thousands of degrees, it will eventually start to luminesce and become a flame. And the color of the flame starts with red, because the flame is red hot. Then it goes to yellow hot. Then it goes to blue hot, bluish hot. And that is the color of a match. If you take a look at a match, the bottom of the match is red, the middle of the match flame is yellow, and the top of the match flame is bluish. And why is that? That is the temperature of light. Red has the lowest temperature, and blue has the highest temperature. And therefore, by simply looking at the color of a flame, you can tell how hot it is. And because hot air expands, it starts to rise. Okay, well, let's move on now to the next listener phone call.
My name is Madeline, Lacombe, Louisiana, out of Baton Rouge, from WAFB 93.9. My question is, does sound travel into and through black holes?
Okay, well, let's take a short commercial break, and after that, we're going to talk about the sound of a black hole. Do black holes, neutron stars, and pulsars, do they make a sound? And the answer is yes, and you can actually hear it on the internet. But let's take a short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call at 612 564-8135.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
You're listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Here's a chance for you to ask that question that's always been bothering you. The number to call is 612-564-8135. And to find out more about my work, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org, or my Facebook site where we have over almost 5 million fans on Facebook. Well, we had a question. What is the sound of a black hole? Well, let's break it down into pieces. First of all, what is sound? Sound is nothing but vibrations of air molecules bumping into each other. So when I have an explosion, the explosion sends out radiation and heat, which then bumps into atoms, and these atoms create a shock wave. The shock wave then expands, and when it hits your eardrums, it causes your eardrums to vibrate, causing sound. So sound is caused by the vibration of air molecules. Now, in outer space, there are almost no air molecules. So there's no sound in outer space. Or as they used to say for the science fiction movies, in outer space, nobody can hear you scream. So what is the sound of a black hole or neutron star? You've probably heard that on TV, heard that on the internet. Yes, it turns out that they do make a sound, but not in the way you think. These objects, like black holes, or neutron stars, or pulsars, quasars, all these objects that we see in the universe cause vibrations. These vibrations are electromagnetic vibrations, like radar, radio, microwaves. And these vibrations can eventually be picked up on the planet Earth in a receiver. Now, of course, these vibrations are not sound vibrations at all. They're electromagnetic vibrations like radio, but they can be picked up. And then you can put it through a microphone, and by golly, you can hear a sound. And so that is, quote, the sound of a black hole, the sound of a neutron star, the sound of an explosion in outer space. It's not really sound. It's basically vibrations created by an explosion in outer space. Most of the energy is in radio or microwave range. That can be picked up by antennas. And when we pick it up by antennas, then we can put it into an earphone, and then you hear it. Okay, so again, it's not really sound at all, but it's as close as you can get. It's as close as you can get to, quote, the sound, unquote, of a black hole. Okay, let's move on now and take the next listener phone call.
Hello, Professor. My name is Jay, listening on WNDB in Daytona Beach, Florida. I had a question about the orbit of the Earth around the Sun. I was told years ago that it was on a 20,000-year cycle where it goes from more circular to more elongated. And I was wondering, is that elongated, is that more of a football shape, a teardrop shape, or, you know, could you, you know, fill me in on that? And also, what causes this change in shape? And would the duration of the orbit change from 365 1/4 days, or would it just remain the same, but just the velocity of the Earth speed up and slow down? And keep up the good work. I do appreciate your show. Thank you.
Okay, well, you asked a question that has puzzled geologists for many a decade, because they ask a slightly different question, and that is, what causes ice ages? Now, ice ages have shaped everything around us. 10,000 years ago, there was about a half a mile of ice over most of North America. Just think about that. 10,000 years ago, we were nomads, ecking a living in the harsh soil, trying to find game wherever there was in the tundra and in the snowstorms. It was miserable, absolutely miserable to live during the time of the last ice age. But the ice age ended 10,000 years ago, and here we are today. In other words, the rise of human civilization depends on answering the question that you just asked. What are these cycles? Why did the ice age end 10,000 years ago? We are here today with science, technology, medicine, spaceships, television, infrared, internet, all because the ice melted. But we are between glaciations now. Between glaciations, perhaps 10, 20,000 years from now, who knows for sure, another ice age will blanket the Earth. And once again, humans may be reduced to nomads, searching for whatever we can find in the snow and in the forest. So what causes these cycles? Well, now we've been able to go backwards in time using radiation as a clock. And we know there have been many glaciations, many cycles going back hundreds of thousands of years into the past. What causes them? We live in an interglacial period. 10,000 years ago, there was ice everywhere. 10,000 years from now, probably it'll melt. And that caused the rise of civilization. Well, there's a theory that was once proposed that people laughed at. We don't laugh at it anymore. And these are the Milankovitch cycles. He was a scientist who said that every 100,000 or so years, there are cycles. Cycles where the Earth goes into an ice age and comes out of an ice age. Well, people laugh because we didn't have much data. Well, now we have data going back a million years into the past. And we can now begin to see that, yes, there are these cycles. And why do we have these cycles? We're not sure. but we think it has to do with the orbit of the Earth going around the Sun. It turns out that the orbit of the Earth going around the Sun has slight perturbations, tiny perturbations that deviate from a circle, and they build up sunlight and decrease sunlight, and that could cause the ice age cycle. Now, when you compare the Milankovitch cycle to the known ice ages of the past, it's not perfect, but it's close enough. So we now believe that that could be one of the driving forces of the ice age. We're not positive. It's still controversial. But there's growing consensus that there's something there, that the periodicity of the wobbling of the Earth as it goes around the Sun correlates to the coming and goings of the ice ages, which in turn correlate to the coming and goings of modern civilization. So this is something that we really have to know for sure, because who knows, 10,000 years from now, we could be under another half a mile of ice, and we have no way to predict or to fend ourselves. And so in other words, this is something that we really should know. And then the next question is, why? Well, we're not sure, but of course there are slight perturbations in the Earth's orbit, which are extremely small, so small that on a year-to-year basis we can't see them at all, but there they are because of the conservation of energy, and we think that could be one of the driving forces of the coming and goings of the Ice Age, which in turn correlate to the comings and goings of modern civilization. Okay, well, let's move on now and take the next listener phone call.
This is Paul, KFBX, Fairbanks, Alaska. I was wondering if you think that if artificial intelligence ever shows signs of consciousness or becomes sentient, that then it will have some kind of human rights, if you unplugged one, is it possible you could be committing a crime? Thank you.
Well, you asked two questions. First question is, what is consciousness and can robots attain consciousness? And second of all, once they do attain consciousness, then do we have to have AI rights and robot rights? Well, let's answer the second question first. The first question is very difficult. Well, the second question then you ask is, what about robot rights? Well, once robots attain consciousness, and I think it will happen at some point, then robots will be able to feel pain. Because, of course, if robots cannot feel pain, they can destroy themselves. They can put themselves in situations where their metal, their insides, their electronics get warped or disturbed, and they die as a consequence. And so robots have to have a sense of pain and a sense of when to stop receiving that pain, like jumping off a cliff. Robots would have to be programmed so that they know that jumping off a cliff means you destroy yourself. That means that once robots can feel pain, there may be a robot rights movement. That's right. Well, let's take a short commercial break, and after the break, we're going to talk about robots. What happens when they become sentient? Are they going to have a bill of rights for robots? And I think, perhaps, yes. Well, let's take a short commercial break. The number to call if you want to get on Science Fantastic is 612-564-8135. Give us a call.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Marusso reporting. Hurricane Ian, now making landfall in South Carolina and expected to work its way up the coast. North Carolina's top official, Governor Roy Cooper, imploring residents not to stay in their homes if they are ordered to evacuate. The power outage caused by Hurricane Ian has prompted protests in the streets of Cuba's capital as several hundred people demanded restoration of electricity more than 2 days after a blackout hit the entire island. About 400 people gathered Thursday night in at least two spots in the Caro neighborhood shouting, "We want light, we want light," and banging pots and pans. And Judge Eileen M. Cannon told Donald Trump's lawyers Thursday that they did not need to comply with an order from Special Master Raymond J. Deary and state in a court filing whether they believe FBI agents lied about documents seized from the former president's Florida residence. For USA Radio News, I'm Tony Maruso.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras. Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Well, before the break, we had a call about robots. Will they attain consciousness? And if so, will there be a robots rights movement? Well, let me try to answer the second question first. That's the easier one. And the answer is, I think, yes. I think one day we will have to program robots to feel pain. Otherwise, they'll hurt themselves and damage property and cause losses, financial losses. And so in other words, robots have to be aware of the fact that certain things are dangerous, like jumping off a cliff. Robots would perish. They would destroy their electronics if they were to jump off a cliff. And they would have to, therefore, either feel pain or have the neural circuits to avoid pain. So eventually, there could be a robots' rights movement. Robots could be demanding that their pain sensors only go to a certain level, and beyond that, they have to be trained to leave the situation and assume that the command given to them was simply too dangerous to be true. And so I think that, yeah, eventually there could be a robot rights movement whereby robots will demand that there be a limit to the amount of pain they have to endure, and they will have to endure some pain because, of course, they're going to have to do dirty work. But the dirty work could involve work that is self-destructive and is of little help to anybody if a robot destroys itself. And so therefore, robots will have to be trained to avoid things which cause pain. And robots will therefore have to have programming, and they'll demand that programming that puts a limit on the amount of pain they can withstand. So I think that's an inevitable consequence when we program robots to have pain, because otherwise they'll destroy themselves, and there goes your investment. Now, the bigger question, the harder question, at what point do the robots become conscious? Well, the short answer is we don't know, but there are many theories that are being proposed right now. Just recently, there was an engineer for Google who was fired. That's right, fired in part for making statements stating that the Google software, like these chatbots that you can talk to, is conscious. And that went against the Google standing policy of stating that these are nothing but chatbots, they're robots, they're not conscious, don't worry about them. He was saying, nope, they are conscious. Well, an informal poll was taken of the people in the field. Overwhelmingly, the people who actually work in the field said, no, these are not conscious. They appear to be conscious because they can carry on a conversation. You realize that to carry on a conversation requires only a few hundred words. That's right. You don't have to memorize a dictionary. If you learn about 100 words, these words involve gossip and things like what's the weather like today and stuff like that. A few hundred words suffices to explain most conversations that are conducted between, let's say, strangers. So if you were to talk to a chat box, it really does sound as if they are sentient and they're conscious. But no, they're basically reading a script. A simple script where they know that these words mean something to the person who is asking these questions. But then that raises the bigger question. If they're not conscious today, at what point will they become conscious? In other words, self-aware. Now, if you talk to a robot or even a chat box, they don't know who they are. They don't know what they are. There's no self-awareness. But what happens when they do become self-aware? Well, we'll talk about after the break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call at 612-564-8135 or join us on the web at mkaku.org, mkaku.org. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
My name is Stephen Huer. In 1976, when I was 15 years of age, I was poisoned from two mercury dental fillings. The mercury came off these fillings in such high amounts that I went from having excellent health to having chronic constipation and candida overgrowth. I could barely eat any food for 4 years, which resulted in adrenal exhaustion by the age of 20. Despite years of diet experimentation, juice fasting, and intestinal cleansing, it was not until I took certain prescription sulfur amino acids that I healed my eliminatory function and eliminated my candida overgrowth. Later, it was not until I began to consume Green Meadow Whey that I eliminated my mercury burden 100%. Had Green Meadow Whey existed in 1976, I could have healed my gut and body decades earlier. Green Meadow Whey supplies a very high concentration of the sulfur amino acids needed to fuel glutathione production. Glutathione removes mercury and virtually all other toxins from the body. Set your body free from the burden of heavy metals and environmental toxins with Green Meadow Whey. To order, go to bestwheyprotein.net. That's bestwheyprotein.net or call 888-988-3325.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Now, all of us have talked to a chat box on your laptop or your cell phone. You want to know something? You simply talk to Siri or the chat box that's inside your cell phone, and it really does sound as if you're talking to another human being rather than talking to a robot reading a script that is programmed to answer certain questions that it understands. So, but at what point does it become conscious? Well, some people think that self-awareness is one criterion. A self-aware robot programs itself. You don't have to teach it to be programmed. It programs itself. It is aware that it is not human. It is aware of the fact that it is a robot, and it plots. It makes plans for the future independent of who you are. Rather than carrying out a command, it creates a set of a language that tells it what to do independent of what a human says. That's a tall order, and we're not there yet, but we will get there at some point. For example, take a look at the animal kingdom. Right now, most of our robots have the intelligence of a cockroach. Even cockroaches are more intelligent than some of our military robots. You can put a military robot in the forest, and what does it do? It falls over and can't even get up. A cockroach can scurry around, find food, find mates, find shelter, while the poor military robot flails upside down. So you see how far we have to go. But one day they'll be as smart as a mouse, as smart as a rabbit, as smart as a deer. And when they become smart as a dog or a cat, then we're beginning to talk about the beginnings of self-awareness. Once they hit the level of a monkey, they are probably self-aware. Monkeys know they are monkeys. They know they're not humans. They form strategies of their own. In that sense, I think there is a level of consciousness, monkey consciousness. Now, what about dogs? Well, dogs are confused. Dogs think that we are a dog. We're just the top dog, that's all. They are the underdog, and we're the top dog. That's why they obey us. But at a certain point, who knows when that's going to happen, our machines will become self-aware, and at that point, what do? I think we should put a chip in their brain to shut them off once they have murderous thoughts independent of a human being. But what happens when they get so smart that they remove that safety chip? What happens if they're so smart they know that there's a chip in their brain shutting them off once they have murderous thoughts, and they find a way to remove it? What do we do then? That's inevitable, right? I think at that point we should merge with them. Why not wake up one day as Superman or Superwoman, able to explore the universe, able to endure the atmospheres and gravitational pull of all sorts of planets in the galaxy? What's wrong with that? Well, of course, people today may not like that, but I think people of the future will democratically have a chance to decide for themselves whether or not they want to emerge as a superhuman. This is called transhumanism. It is centuries into the future. This is not going to happen anytime soon. But I think people of the future will themselves have the opportunity to decide where they want to go and what they want to do with this technology. Okay, well, let me also answer some of the questions that I get by email. I can't answer all of them, but let me try to answer a few of them. I got a lot of emails concerning the DART mission, the mission to deflect an asteroid in outer space. That was a historic moment. Historic, because it's the first time ever that we've been able to alter the trajectory of a celestial object in the universe. And one day, that could save life on Earth. You know, we are sitting ducks, facing the potential of an asteroid strike from outer space. What do we do? Send Bruce Willis to blow it up on the space shuttle? No. First of all, there is no space shuttle that can go that far out. And second of all, blowing up an asteroid is the worst thing you want to do, because then you have lots of baby asteroids coming at you, which can cause a lot more damage than simply one asteroid. So let's take a short commercial break. But after the break, we'll answer some of the emails that I get, including, is it a good thing to blow up asteroids in outer space? Stay tuned. The number to call if you want to get on Science Fantastic is 612-564-8135.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. The lines are open at 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters at the radio station or the website you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and ask that question that's always been bothering you. Well, let me try to answer some of the emails that I get. One email that I get concerning the DART mission to blow up an asteroid in outer space. Why bother? They're just a piece of rock in outer space. Well, ask a dinosaur that question. You see, the dinosaurs did not have a space program. 66 million years ago, an object about 6 miles across plowed into the Yucatan of Mexico, and that was it. That wiped out the dinosaurs. And here we are today. Thank goodness for that asteroid. If that asteroid had missed the Earth, there'd be a bunch of dinosaurs on this radio station, probably, talking about dinosaur rights. Well, the dinosaurs were wiped out. We did take over, but now we could be next on the chopping block. I mean, asteroid collisions happen all the time. Russia had two of them in the last 100 years. The Tunguska impact in Siberia and the Chelyabinsk impact just a few years ago. So Russia had two city busters capable of knocking out Moscow or Washington, D.C., and it could happen again. How many pieces of rock out there that are dangerous? 30,000. There are 30,000 objects bigger than a football field that could cross the path of the Earth. Now, we've projected their trajectories. We know that within 100 years, none of them will hit the Earth. But what about objects smaller than a football field? We don't track them. Too difficult. And so these objects, how many of them are there? Potentially millions. I mean, the mind just goes swimming thinking about the fact that there's all these rocks out there, smaller than a football field, that could hit the Earth. Now, these are what are called city busters. They're smaller than an apartment building, let's say, and they could knock out a city. But then there are nation busters. Objects like Apophis, over 1,000 feet across, that could wipe out England or Germany if it were to hit the Earth. Now, they, of course, are much rarer. The city busters take place about once every 100 years, once every 200 years. The nation busters take place every few thousand years. And then the planet busters like the one that killed the dinosaurs, takes place perhaps once every 50 million years. So what's the wild card in all of this? The wild card is objects smaller than a football field, because we don't track them. And their orbits could catch us totally off guard. In fact, they light up every night. Every night these objects light up the night sky as meteors. We don't track them. They're too small, too difficult to track all the debris out there. But an object the size of an apartment building could, in fact, take out an entire nation. Like I said, that happened twice in Russia. An object about the size of an apartment building slammed into Siberia in 1908, flattening the forests of Siberia, causing a shockwave that was heard auditorily all the way in Western Europe. So what are we going to do about it? At the present time, what can we do about it? The answer is nothing. Nothing we can do today can deflect an asteroid. That's the beauty of the DART mission. For the first time in history, we took the first baby step to nudge an asteroid out of the way that's headed toward the Earth. Now, why did I say nudge? You see, if you blow up a big asteroid, you get lots of baby asteroids coming at you. And these baby asteroids together are much more dangerous than one big asteroid. If I have one big asteroid, most of the energy is wasted creating a crater. But if I have lots of mini asteroids coming at you, that disperses the damage over a much wider area and therefore are much more dangerous. So the DART mission was to test whether or not we can nudge an asteroid out of the way. The farther it is away, the greater the chance that it'll miss the Earth. This impact took place 7 million miles from the Earth. So if that was a real asteroid headed our way, and we could alter its path 7 million miles away, it'll probably sail right by the Earth and miss the planet Earth. That's the goal. The goal is not to blow it up. That's the worst thing you want to do. The goal is to nudge it out of the way. Now, what's the wild card? The wild card in all this is the fact that an asteroid may not be solid. We see pictures of asteroids. They look pretty solid, right? But no, they might actually be clusters of chunks of rock and debris held together by gravity. In other words, what you see may not really be there. In fact, even today, we're not quite certain whether or not the asteroid that was hit would fly apart or not. Now, the impactor that hit that asteroid was the size of a refrigerator. So think of a refrigerator chock full of instruments plowing into an asteroid. The asteroid, in turn, was about 500 feet across, or about 2 football fields. In other words, the size of a small apartment building. So now, we're trying to track exactly how much of a deflection took place. We only need about a degree. 1 degree difference would make all the difference and save the human race. You know, Carl Sagan, the late astronomer, said that we live in the middle of a shooting gallery. Think about that. A middle of a shooting gallery. So my attitude is, what took them so long? We should have been nudging these asteroids out of the way decades ago, but I'm glad they did it recently. Okay, well, unfortunately, that's it for Science Fantastic. Join us every week. Give us a call at 612-564-8135. Be part of the March of Science. Give us a call and go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. I have 5 million fans on Facebook. Give us a call and be part of the March of Science. Be part of one of the greatest endeavors in the history of the human race, the quest to understand the universe.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A 1-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.